Thank you so much to our sponsors, Yellow Racket Records, a place for music lovers to discover, hear, and buy new and pre-loved records. Great staff, great coffee, comfy chairs. YellowRacketCHA.com. And RC2 Realty Solutions Real Estate Investments. Robin Ring's got a brand new thing. Call 531-1722.
Only in Jeff Styles, America.
Hey folks, it's that time once again. Time for a trip to Storyville. Storyville with old El Jefe here, Jeff Styles with a Y. Nuga's own Jeff Styles, the host of Storyville and Rockyology, found right here at fredpodcast.com or Anchor FM or any of the various places where you get podcasts, the podcast that you enjoy listening to. Storyville, story is based on my life, the lives of people around me, interesting things that have happened to interesting people, interesting tales, I hope. And this is an odd one. And actually, if I could have just hit the record button on a radio show earlier this week, I'm a talk radio host for those of you who possibly might be tuning in for the first time right now here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I just told a story that I had completely forgotten about. And I don't even really remember what it was that brought it up. I'm sure it was some kind of issue with LGBTQ, in the headlines everywhere you look right now. But I started to tell this story, like I said, that I haven't told in a long time. It was just a very brief little incident, but it struck people as being unusually funny, I guess, and just, well, unusual would be the framework for it. And I'll just do it like this. I'm going to keep it short, and I'll keep it simple. I am a 60-year-old white man who spent the vast majority of his life in the rural South, or at least in a rural area outside of a mid-sized city in the South. I've lived in, you know, outside of Chattanooga for a while. So I have a certain perspective, a certain way of looking at things. The fact that I am seen as a left of center on the political spectrum here in America, a liberal or a progressive, is already unusual enough. The fact that I am in an interracial marriage, I'm married to a Venezuelan woman, is unusual in my peer group. Nobody has a problem with that because she's a lovely woman and she's beautiful and they all wish they were me, frankly. But I've always kind of swam against the grain, I guess, throughout my life. That's just part of the one small little piece of spam in the great quiche that is me, Jeff Styles, is just I tend to be kind of contrarian to the populism or the popular notions of the day. And I certainly came up in a household and in a manner and with a family that did not tolerate racism at all, not even a little bit. So I was very lucky in the sense that I didn't have to fight through that particular form of prejudice and bias to become the person that I am today. I really do like to think that I don't see race beyond just the, you know, fun you can have with it, really, making fun of other people who are racist and dealing sometimes in a funny manner with some stereotypes and things of that nature. But it was a challenge to me in my age bracket. I graduated high school in 1978, and it had only been, you know, less than a decade since the Stonewall riots in New York took place, and gay rights, the word gay was not even used. Really, by anybody that I knew by the time I graduated high school, it was not a word that was in common usage to describe a male homosexual or a female homosexual or anybody who liked somebody of the same gender or non-binary or trans or all these phrases that we're getting used to now and we're wrapping our brains around trying to figure out exactly what is the politically polite thing to say. I'm not worried about being politically correct. You know, but I am worried about being politically polite. I want to refer to people in the right manner, but it was a learning curve for me. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. There was something about the idea of two men coupling that I found repulsive. I think most young men, if they are hetero at heart and that's all they've ever seen, they feel that way. You can't blame a 14 or 15 year old boy for being grossed out by something that just plain grosses him out. It's the way you react to that initial gut reaction that matters. And by the time I got into college, I realized that there was something going on in my peer group that I found to be very, very distasteful. And that was a propensity to at least brag about what they would do if a gay person ever approached them and hit on them. Essentially, we're talking about gay bashing, fag bashing. We're talking about somebody coming up to you in a bar and hitting on you, and you literally hitting them back. And among the circle of friends that I was in at the time, I was actually in a fraternity. And fraternities, Greek fraternities in colleges, especially when you're dealing, I was 17, 18, 19-year-old boys, they're not exactly wise. They're not exactly tolerant. They're not exactly open-minded. They're very cliquish. And it just became this thing that I was aware of, that most of the guys I knew, that if anybody ever came under them, by God, they'd bust that jaw. They'd teach them something. I didn't really know how I felt about that. That couldn't be cool, hurting somebody simply because they were trying to get to know you, be friendly. They thought you were attractive. Somebody thinks you're attractive and you're going to punch them? That doesn't make any sense at all. So I kind of labored with this in a void because I didn't really have any life experience. The first time I've even mentioned this in a recent Storyville, when I went to New Orleans at 19, it was the first time I'd ever experienced in real life a group of trans men. And I thought they were girls. And so I went into a bar wearing a pair of denim cutoff shorts and sneakers, and that was it, shirtless, in the middle of a hot summer day, thinking that I was going in to talk to a bunch of hot women. And it turned out not to be women at all. It was an eye-opening experience, but I finished my beer. I was polite. I talked to everybody. I made my exit, walked on down the road, and then told my story of this unusual encounter to my friends, who all had various reactions to it. One of them said he probably would have punched somebody. Why, dude? Why would you do that? So it's something I had to deal with. And then, of course, as I moved into the professional world, I started dealing with more and more people of the gay persuasion. Their orientation was different. Lifestyles were different. Some of them were more open than others. Some of them were still closeted. They confided in me. Some of them were flamboyant and open and out there and were militant about it. And I just developed my own world of reaction and my own way of looking at it, my own level of tolerance. I'll be frank with you, too. I've actually said on the air and on these podcasts before that I find myself getting gayed out sometimes, that it seems to be overly focused on. In other words, if you don't want people to judge you by your sexual orientation, why lead with it? Why lead with it in every aspect of your life? And, you know, there are these insertions of characters and storylines into movies and TV shows now that don't really advance the story or the plot development or the character development. It's just like they feel like they have to have token, you know, gay sex scenes. And I find that a little bit just disturbing, the fact that we would just, you know, it's tokenism. We've all agreed that tokenism is bad, right? You're not going to hire somebody just simply because they're black, because it checks a box. You don't just make a gay sex scene in the middle of a movie that really has no revolution around the storyline just so you can check a box. That doesn't make any sense. So maybe I'm not as open-minded as some people would have me be. I don't know. But this story is about the first time that I was truly surprised by somebody who approached me. I'd been to bars where somebody had come on a little bit, been a little overly friendly at the bar, in the bathroom, made a suggestive comment, something like that. No punches were thrown. Everything was okay. No thank you. It's not my thing. Have a great evening. Move on. No biggie, right? I was hearing this story as I began my career as a talk radio host, this revolving story about these hookup places for gay men that were becoming an issue. And it was literally in the news. And they were cracking down on rest stops on the side of the road, on the interstates, and national parks. And that's actually how it came up, now that I'm thinking about it. There was a body that was found in a nearby national park, and I wasn't making any aspersions or casting any doubt toward the character of the person that the body that they had found had been missing for a couple of years. This person had been missing. I said, but that park was known for a while as a hookup place. And surely everybody listening to this podcast knows what that means when I say hookup, right? But the other one, and I just, that was where it started. The other one was the Chickamauga Lake, the reservoir that is actually held back by the Chickamauga Dam, an early TVA project here in town. It's a park area that has a little swimming area right there on the lake and a playground, and it's very popular among families. And it had become apparently a very popular hookup place for guys who were cruising to rendezvous with other guys. I, on the air, was hearing these things, and there were people who were disgusted, and they wanted this insanity stopped, and it was blasphemy, and it was hideous in the eyes of God, and then police needed to be out there patrolling, and the kids weren't safe because gays equal pedophiles, and I was hearing it all, right? And I was sitting there going, you know what, I'm really calling bunk on this. This just sounds like a bunch of BS to me, because I'd taken my family out there a bunch of times. We'd gone out there, played frisbee, played volleyball, swam all day, messed around. I never saw any untoward behavior. So one day, I'm killing time. I get off my morning shift, and I've got something I got to do that afternoon about 1 o'clock or so, and it's a hot summer day, and so I pull into the shade, and I'd stopped and gotten myself a little chicken lunch, and knowing me, we're talking about sometime in the mid-90s, so I'm in my, you know, early 30s, and knowing me, I've probably gotten a tall boy, a 16-ounce beer. I'm off the radio. My job is over for the day. The meeting I had was really not job-related, but it was important to me. And I'm just sitting there with my beer between my legs, listening to the radio, jamming to some music in the shade, enjoying my solitude out there, looking out over the lake and the ospreys and everything and seagulls. And I'm eating a chicken leg and just not bothering anybody, just enjoying life, right? Life is good. And suddenly, this car pulls up next to me, a big car, a big yacht of a car, a land yacht, a hoopty, big Cadillac of some kind, and wheels right in next to me. I mean, the parking lot is empty. This is the middle of a weekday. It wasn't exactly a rush time for the park, and there was no other vehicle out there, and this guy pulls in right next to me. And I go, well, what's up with this? I mean, it's not a cop. It's not anybody I know. And this well-dressed middle-aged man, I say that now, he's probably, you know, 10 years younger than I am now. At the time, he was probably 50, 51 years old or something. I said, well-dressed, had on a tie, shirt, and immediately just gets out of the driver's side, and he comes around, and he just advances toward my open window and kind of leans in. I don't know this guy. And I'm just sitting there with this look of surprise on my face. And I said, this would be a rather short story, and it is going to be. It's more buildup than it is a story. I'm sitting there just looking at the guy, and he goes, hey. I said, hey, what's up? He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm just killing time. What are you doing? He goes, I was thinking you might want to have some fun. And it took me a second. I'm standing there literally holding my chicken leg in my right hand. My left hand had gone from the beer between my legs to the door handle, thinking I might have to, you know, either roll up the window or open the door or defend myself, or maybe I'm going to get out and talk to this guy, what's going on? And I was thinking you might want to have some fun. I said, what is he talking? Oh, all of a sudden light bulb goes off over my head. This guy is hitting on me. This is one of those hookups. And so he clearly thinks that's what I'm there for. And I'm sitting there stunned and shocked and a little bit taken aback that that's what he would think about me just from my appearance. I guess I think I look more macho than I am. And I'm just sitting there and I go, boink, and I hit him in the forehead with my chicken leg. And I go, no. That was it. That was my reaction. There was a moment of silence and I looked at him and he was sitting there grinning. Apparently thinking that we were about to go behind a building and get it on or go to a hotel room. I don't know, but I just took my chicken leg and went boink and just popped him in the forehead with it between his eyes and went, no. And you should have seen the look on his face. it was the last thing he expected to happen. I could have said, yeah, let's go have some fun. I could have said, no, get the hell away from me, you so-and-so. But he didn't expect to get a big greasy spot put between his eyes by a chicken leg wielded by a 6'3", gap-toothed redneck man who clearly had no interest. And he looked like I had tased him. He literally staggered back and he looked at me, and then he looked terrified and still wearing the greasy spot like he was an adherent of some sort of Middle Eastern religion that worships grease, Crisco, you know, with the third eye, with the chicken leg grease. He runs and jumps back in his car and fires it up and slams it in reverse and just takes off. Just takes off. Like he has literally committed an incredible crime and now he's got to get away before the cops get there. And that was it. And I'm still sitting there holding my now fouled chicken leg in my hand. I'm just like going, what the hell just happened? Well, that was the weirdest thing. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Right after that, somebody I knew, I didn't tell this part of the story on the air, somebody that I knew actually did come driving up who worked with Parks and Rec for the city. And I said, Styles, what are you doing? I said, I'm killing time. Dude, guess what just happened? The weirdest thing just happened. He goes, oh, man, that happens out here all the time. And so I'm learning, right? This is a learning moment for me. I had poo-pooed the whole idea of this going on. I thought it was some sort of urban myth. I thought it was a bunch of hysterical homophobes out there making this whole thing up in their heads. Why would somebody want to go hook up at a park? Why wouldn't they just go to a hotel? Why wouldn't they just go to their own house? I didn't understand the scope of what was happening. It was still, even in the mid-90s, it wasn't as open then. It wasn't as cool then. There are closeted people out there, pillars of the community, movers and shakers, who were out there looking for a little action on the down low. And they don't want anybody to know. And they've got their own way of living and their own code. So it was just this first time ever encounter that something like that, and only one that I've ever had in my life that I can remember. And that was my reaction. A quick thump with a chicken leg and a no. And I said it just exactly like that. I didn't scream. I didn't make his hair fly back. There was no threat to my voice. It was actually kind of almost an apologetic. No, thank you. And then he just takes off. And as I told that story the other day, it suddenly occurred to me that is that gay bashing? When I reached out and actually made contact with his forehead with my chicken leg, would that have actually put me into the category of a hate crime? Am I guilty of a hate crime of being one of these guys that I detest that would go up and punch somebody because they think they look gay? Am I going to fall into that category because I assaulted the guy with my greasy chicken bone? I mean, it was just a light tap, but it clearly had a very profound effect on the dude. So I'm going nowhere with this story other than just telling it. I had not told that story. I don't guess, other than telling it to my wife later on that day and the guy that I saw out there, I don't think I'd ever actually told it out loud before until I said it on the air. And then it suddenly occurred to me that may have been a remarkably inappropriate reaction. What if that guy had called the cops and said, this guy assaulted me? I just went up and started talking to him. I was being friendly, and he hit me in the head with a chicken bone. I don't know. It's maybe it was a dodged bullet. I don't need any more black marks on my record with the police. So hopefully the statute of limitations on this assault with chicken leg is passed, and they won't be coming and looking for me, the BATF, coming to my house looking for other, you know, greasy fowl and evidence of foul behavior, you know, with Kentucky Fried Chicken grease on my fingers. But just wanted to share that with you guys. Many of you folks are on your own journey right now trying to figure out how to deal with this. You're going to have to figure it out yourself. There are no pre-planned lessons. There are no golden steps for you to follow. If you have a prejudice and a bias against gay people based just purely on your gut and the way you were raised, rethink it. They're just ordinary people like you and I. They're just looking to have fun like you and I. Gay does not equal pedophile. And I think it's a wonderful thing that there is a much more open society these days, an open-mindedness within society for this, you know, these alternative lifestyles. Again, I may not be the poster boy for understanding this, but I have walked my own path, and with the exception of the chicken bone incident, I think I've actually gotten to a pretty good place. So it's up to you. Thank you for listening to Storyville today. Continue to listen, spread the word, and if anybody has any advice they'd like to give me on any future encounters I might have, you know, maybe a warning about, you know, you might know the city ordinance about attacking somebody with a chicken leg, let me know. Thank you very much.
Fred Podcast wouldn't be possible without the support of our sponsors. Southern Segway, Chattanooga's first consumer Segway dealer. Find them at Southern Segway on Facebook and Instagram. Dr. Brett Moldenhauer, Institute for Acupuncture and Wellness. And North Spring Cryotherapy and Rejuvenation Center. Find them at northspring.com. For more, go to fredpodcast.com.